Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today, we're continuing our Jessica Jones watch through. Like 5 years late? we're watching through him because we got to get through all of the Defenders saga before we get the new Defenders saga, potentially. We're not really sure, but we know that we're getting Daredevil. So, if you listened last time, we talked about episode one, which was kind of like a setup episode. We kind of learn a little bit about who Jessica is. We learn a little bit about who Kilgrave is. But we're not like 100% sure what everyone can do. I feel like this episode we get to see a little bit more of Jessica Jones, the private investigator. And it definitely breaks more into that realm of the Daredevil series, which preceded this, where it's very heavy on the like law aspect and the you can't just go around and punch people and save people because you're a superhero. You have to follow the rules. And we see that a lot in this episode, starting with Jessica being interrogated essentially for Hope killing her parents in the elevator, which interesting that she's the one getting interrogated. And like, why? If there was someone like Kilgrave out there, it's weird to think that like nobody knows about him. Like they're trying to convince everyone that he's real and he has these powers and No one's listening.
If you look at like the MCU slate in terms of the newer stuff, especially with like Miss Marvel, and we have like these whole like they're shields, but then like we have all these sub agencies that handle certain things. It feels like that's what this needs. Yes. It needs that middleman that just kind of knows everything that's going on, but keeping the certain secrets. Because certain aspects of like, it's like, shouldn't y'all be working together there versus interrogating? Like, it just seems like they should have been playing a little bit nicer together.
Right. Well, and just like they have all these files and all these people with superhero abilities. And I get that, like, I know, no major spoilers, but spoilers for this series, I guess. There's a moment where, like, Kilgrave gets out of trouble by using his powers. And so, like, I get that that's sort of, like, his deal, right? Is that, like, he can convince anybody to do anything. That's his ability. But we're still kind of hazy on, like, how long that effect lasts or, like... So you would think that somewhere out there, other than literally just Jessica Jones, someone would be like, oh, there's this mutant or alien or something who can convince people to do whatever they want. This is what he looks like. And that would be a like SHIELD top 10 most wanted list. Like, it's interesting that he gets away with basically like terror. I mean, this is like a psychological thriller of a show where like we don't know who the killer is because we haven't, you know, he could be anybody. He could be convincing anybody to kill Jessica Jones at any point or kill somebody else. Like, we don't know who is potentially under his thrall, or it's just wild. It blows my mind that he has this insane ability and nobody, they have to like try to convince people.
But that's part of what makes it so insidious, because they even both say that they didn't realize at first that they were being controlled. Mm-hmm. Part of what he can do is just get into your head and you just kind of feel like it's you who's still like mm-hmm. who's still in control, but it becomes evident later on. And of course, this whole thing is a gigantic metaphor for being in an abusive relationship. And of course, one of the like classic narratives we get with that is the victims are not believed or told mm-hmm. that they're overreacting and, you know, how did this happen this way? Really? And so, yeah, and that's also, I love this completely genius setup for Kilgrave, because you have no idea how he can be stopped. He's just an absolute monster whose only redeeming quality is that he's played by David Tennant.
Emphasis on monster, because I don't know. There's things that happen in this episode. I was just like, I don't even see how this could air. It is. This goes super gritty again, like mm-hmm. like below gritty, yes. like just ugly.
And they are really having fun with the fact that they are not in movies where they expect teenagers to come, and they're not on ABC where they have to have a TV-14 rating or below.
Right.
Yes. Agreed. I will say, like, I guess. What is the, why can't I think of the word now? A warning, if you haven't seen this series, it can be triggering for mm-hmm. abusive relationship, or there's just a lot of creepy, messed up things that Kilgrave does throughout the whole series too. And we're only on episode 2 and it's very apparent. So if that is a trigger for you, then maybe this not the series for you to watch.
Skip it.
There is something fun at the beginning. And I don't want to get my episodes mixed up, so I just need to double check. Yeah. So at the beginning of this episode, they talk about transferring Hope to or from Seattle Grace.
that was gonna be my opening remark, is like I always call this episode the, because I don't know if this was referenced in episode 1, if it was, apologies, but all the episodes are like AKA something else. Mm-hmm. This is like the AKA Grey's Anatomy episode.
Yes. Yes.
Was the doctor that she mentioned a character on ER?
Oh, I don't know.
So that I don't know. I didn't look up the doctor name.
Okay, because I had like a, it felt like a repressed memory. that was one of the main doctors on ER. I don't know. I'd have to check, because I don't even remember what the name was.
Well, it is interesting because, so Grey's Anatomy, owned by ABC, owned by Disney, who owns Marvel. So there is some sort of, could this be Marvel/Disney being like, yeah, Grey's Anatomy is a Marvel show. You just didn't even know. So that's just like a funny little, I don't know what they were trying to do with that. Like, nod, was it a joke? Was it a, are we supposed to believe that Grey's Anatomy is in the MCU? Like, strange. We also get in this episode something kind of cool that then turns out later to be like really cool, and I think is more like a season 2 thing. But we start to get these little hints towards Hellcat with Trish. We see her doing her like Krav Maga training, and we get a little bit more of like her backstory, and she has like a crazy story on her own. Like, it's, you know, again, it's like the darker side of, I guess, this like child celebrity life that she has grown up in. And on top of that, like her mom is kind of that like pageant mom sort of character. So we're learning like a lot more. This, I feel like the season is doing what it's supposed to do and like telling us who these characters are before things like really start happening. But all the stuff that they're like layering on top of these characters is already crazy enough as it is. Like, their stories are already so deep that now, you know, you're putting them in this scary version of Hell's Kitchen where there's someone out there that can just control anybody and make them do whatever. It's really terrifying. I feel like when I watched this the first time, I didn't really get that. I was just like, oh, cool, a Marvel show, and I watched it. But now watching it again, it's like, wow, this is so different. Like, really, really like a thriller, not like anything else that we've seen Marvel do even since. Like, even in the more thrillery things that they're trying to do now, this is still like 5 or 6 shades darker than anything else Disney is doing. So I'm wondering, like, with this sort of rebirth of Daredevil, are we going to keep it this gritty and dark? Or are we going to...
I wouldn't expect so.
Yeah.
No. Especially, like, Disney Plus series. I don't know. I mean, Moon Knight's definitely been one of more edgier, darker shows. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they'll go anything pass that on the series. Mm-hmm. Movies maybe, but
I feel like the movies even less likely, right? Because like, they're at least the shows, they can tailor them a little bit more towards a certain audience, whereas
I think a lot of it has to do with the initial brand, like, right, like this show was kind of built around that Netflix IP, and a lot of the stuff that Netflix was kind of, the original series Netflix already had, so they're kind of going with that flow of things. Whereas Disney Plus is a whole different atmosphere, and they'll kind of want to keep true to that.
What are you
and the
say
way next? That they portrayed Matt Murdock in like She-Hulk,
yeah,
is a bit of a departure from what is in the series. Not that I've seen very much of it, just a little bit, but I can still tell that it was a much brighter, sunnier Daredevil that we got in She-Hulk. So maybe that's more the direction that they're going in, kind of stepping just a little bit away from the dark and gritty and more into the mainstream kind of Marvel stuff.
I hope so, only because I really like the more comic booky version of Kingpin that we got in Hawkeye.
Yeah,
I hope that we get that a little bit more with the series moving forward. Not that I'm expecting us to get another Kilgrave and he's like, his skin is purple, because that's how it is in the comic. Like, I'm fine if they don't want to make like that drastic of a leap, but I would like, I don't know. They can keep it gritty, but I don't want them to fall into the DC trap of like, we're only going to focus on making it dark and gritty, and then in the end you just kind of like lose out on the any sort of fun. You just watch the movie and you're basically like on the edge of your seat, but not in a good way, the whole movie, and then it ends and you're like, ah, thank God that's over.
And now they're having to poach James Gunn to try to hope to make some of their like movies kind of fun.
Right. Right.
I took the best one.
Well, we do get to see or learn, I guess, a little bit more about like why Kilgrave is the way he is currently. And that Jessica thought that she killed him, found out that he didn't die, and then found out why he didn't die. It's because the doctor saved him. And it kind of goes back to like, why would he save him? Well, he can convince anybody to do anything. So that's probably why. And we learn about like why the name of the episode is Crush Syndrome, because that is what happened to Kilgrave. I believe the quote is like, if you were hit by a bus, and that is basically what Jessica Jones can do if she hits you. Hits like a bus. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that he didn't want to, what he didn't want to be put under, right? And so we think that that may be some sort of like, oh, he can't use his power if he's not conscious, so he doesn't want to not be conscious. So that's like a good thing to kind of like mental note. I'll be honest, I don't remember if that comes up again, but as soon as they said it, I was like, oh, is this, are they trying to remind us something later in the season? I don't remember. But it is interesting seeing like, here's this guy with this incredible power to get away with anything, but also he's still just human. Like, if he was walking down the street and a car hit him and he died, he dies. Like, there's no avoiding that. So it kind of like still doesn't really balance him out, but it kind of makes it like, oh, okay, like he can be stopped.
Yeah. His world is like playing a chess game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to think three steps ahead every second for every decision he's got to make to know what kind of consequences
exactly
could occur from this. Lacks the immortality. That, you know, if he had immortality or like bulletproof, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's over. Basically a vampire minus the, yeah. The not dying.
Yeah.
He kind of like mysticize people into doing things. What else was, did I have? We get a little bit more of Jessica and Luke Cage's relationship, or sort of creepy stalkery relationship. We find out that, you know, in the first episode, we see her take a couple pictures of him. We think like, oh, that's Luke Cage. Like, well, I don't know. You don't really think about it that much. It's kind of creepy, but you're like, whatever. Then we find out that she's taken a ton of pictures of him. And that is a little more sketchy. I still feel like, you know, they don't really know each other that well. If Luke had found out that she took all those pictures, I don't know that their relationship would have gone the same way that it does. 'Cause a little creepy. But you know, I know episode 3 is like a little bit more Luke heavy than this episode, but it is interesting just to kind of see that. I don't know if maybe she's drawn to him because handsome man lives across the street, she sits on her balcony with a camera, takes pictures, whatever. Whenever they come together in the first episode, and she kind of, there's no way that like they didn't realize that the other person has powers, right? Like they don't talk about it, but
yeah, it's just always, there's that sense like they know, but they just don't want to bring it up.
Right. Right. Which,
at the very least they suspect.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. 100%.
So, you know, I'm sure that that sort of lends itself like superpowered person finds another superpowered person and they come together.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sure, I get it. But it is like...
It's almost like, think of like an age thing, right? You know? Mm. It's like if they... Imagine this was like MCU series, but they were like teenagers. They'd probably be, whoa, you got... What do you, can you do? You know, if you... It's like that whole segment from like Shazam in the DC world. It's like... Can you fly? Do you have laser vision? Are you bullet? Like, what can you do? Like, it'd be a lot more of that versus this is kind of like...
Gets out of my belt sander.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I don't really want you in my business.
It was a handsaw, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a handsaw.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. And it is like, it is that moment, I guess, right? Of like, what can you do? Mm-hmm. Here's what I can do. But like a more mature version.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, here's this crate, like, watch this. This is crazy. And he handsaws himself. And then she just kind of comes over and like gently touches where he handsawed himself. And it's like, oh, okay. They're into each other because... Sort of like right now, all I can think is they're into each other because they're powered. Mm. Like that's
and because he's nice to her.
True. True. But also, you know, I feel like this also goes into sort of like some weird danger territory of the overarching theme, which is this like abusive relationship that she had with Kilgrave led her to like Luke Cage, who's he's just like a generally nice person, and like then she finds out, oh, he's also powered, and then she's like sort of obsessed with him in like a not necessarily like a terrible way. It's not like Jessica Jones is a villain, but
and yeah. To be fair, it started with that was her job.
Yes,
she was supposed to be following him around and taking his picture for her job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, but then she just kind of has this creepy hoard of pictures.
Right. Yeah, her job pictures and then her personal pictures, and there's a weird line somewhere in there.
That she's not drawing.
Right. But yeah, that's, I mean, in a nutshell, that's kind of the episode. The hope side of it is that they're basically just trying to get Jerry Hogarth to represent Hope in court. It seems to be a losing battle, so, you know, obviously Jerry's like, I don't know about that case. Like, I don't know if I'm going to take that. Interesting that this series came out after Daredevil, because we know who Daredevil is. We know mm-hmm. who Matt Murdock is and what he does. Could have been a crossover in this early part of this. I know that we're already like doing crossovers with Luke Cage, which is a series that like at the time of this had technically yet to come out, but mm-hmm. still it's all building up to the Defenders. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't pull Matt Murdock in a little bit earlier. You know, they literally mm-hmm. have a situation built for his character.
Yeah.
Also, like, Like, I get that Jerry's a really good lawyer and stuff, but she's also a huge dirtbag. So if I was Jessica, I don't know if I'd have gone straight to her, even if she was my boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also it's like, you know, Jessica works for her like freelance, but we still really don't know the relationship there.
Yeah.
Like, did Jessica find her and start doing work for her, or did she find Jessica and start hiring Jessica for work?
Because she knows about Jessica's powers and stuff.
Mm. When we,
and she's keeping a secret.
We know that Jessica is... We know that Jessica is a good PI. but do other people know that she's a good PI? I mean, she works out of her apartment, which, like, the door is always busted, and...
This kind of goes in. I wonder if they pulled from like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like that trilogy,
because
that's similar vibe. If you've never seen any of those movies, you know, we basically follow a PI, but there's only so many people that know her abilities and how good she is, and it's just kind of like this trust, like, you got to trust me, like, this person knows what they're doing. Like, this is also an episode I was like, I wish She-Hulk was in this. Like, it's just like, yeah, there's certain vibes of like, if She-Hulk just like walked through the door.
I mean, it would have been great if She-Hulk had joined them. Yeah. There's a fight in this episode. Finally get to see Luke and Jessica fight. And, you know, this is our first time seeing Luke's powers when he gets, right? Because the fight happened first before he did the power saw. I think
the fight was before the power
saw. Yeah, yeah. So the fight's the first time we see his like power actually come into play when someone tries to stab him with a bottle, and it obviously doesn't work because his skin is impenetrable. So another fun thing that we get, but like, it would have been cool to have some more happening in this fight. You know, again, this is sort of a law heavy series. Like, even thinking, I mean, Luke Cage, no, the Luke Cage series is kind of law inspired as well. And then Danny Rand's corporation is going through all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of like law involved in this whole Defenders saga. So it is weird that, like, you know, I mean, I guess it's not weird because I'm sure the rights were in a box somewhere and someone else had with holding on to them. So like, we couldn't do a gritty Netflix She-Hulk, but like, would have fit in perfectly with this whole series to have another lawyer character. It is interesting thinking about, like, I guess I never really thought about that. The fact that like the majority of these are some sort of like law reasoning behind them, but like, it was interesting
because it does make sense if you've got people with superpowers and dealing with folks' lives and all this crime and stuff. Really, you would need a whole team, really, of lawyers. And if Disney Plus is not already developing that show about the lawyers who have to clean up after the Avengers and all of the other like the Thunderbolts and stuff, they should start working on that now.
Yeah. Be called like cleanup crew.
I mean, that would be like one of the best shorts I could do. For the Uber fans out there, if anyone's seen this, I thought it was great. But someone took the clip from No Way Home, where they're at the kitchen table with Matt Murdock, but instead of Matt Murdock, it's Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad. It's like the Breaking Bad version of Saul Goodman.
That's funny.
And it's pretty fantastic.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of, unless you guys have anything else, that kind of, it's kind of a wrap on episode two.
Pretty much. You know, I guess the other big piece I don't think we went super deep into is just more of the, you know, kind of this memory that's stuck in her head dealing with this bus incident and kind of going into like this more detective mode to kind of breadcrumb, you know, who is the driver, the name, who's the living closest living relative, like is which the person was still alive, and we get more connection there of like trying to kind of, she's wanting to do right, good, do good by them and try to help them because they were, you know, didn't really make it out through all that. And then we could go into the Kilgrave stuff, which is, we do get to see him.
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Sort of. But it's like, you know, just picking this family and just getting them to just do whatever he says. It's just the creepiest, weirdest thing ever.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's like the family aspect. And I get that, like, you know, he's a villain and they're making him as creepy as possible. But like, if you had the ability to just tell people what to do and they would do it, why
you think he would go directly to like the White House, to the president of the
that,
United
or
States?
Like, like my first thought would be like, why wouldn't he just go to a bank and get all the money? Yeah. And then he could buy whatever house he wants instead of like picking a family to go just like live with. But also,
well, houses
of
don't
like,
usually come with staff that you don't pay or take care of.
Yeah, but he could get all the money in the world, and then he could just pay them, and no one would ever question it. This seems like a perfect way to get yourself caught for a guy that's like thinking ahead. You know,
you'd think
maybe
that.
He's not. Maybe he's just so used to being able to tell everybody, like, "No, I'm good," and they're like, "Oh, okay, he seems all right. Yeah, let's just go." That he's no longer like worried about the repercussions of his actions.
Yeah,
that or just challenging himself. Like, it's almost like he wants to get caught, but
yeah, there's like some hardcore like Joker vibes with Kilgrave, where it's like,
yeah,
he has this ability, and instead of like, you know, he could have a perfectly good life using that ability,
mm-hmm.
and not causing
even
trouble,
you know,
but
definitely that kind of, I don't know, there's certain aspects of it you can kind of pick from, like Paul Dano's version of the Riddler and the Batman as well, just on some of his decision making. But yeah,
it's an interesting idea for a villain. You know, I don't know if anyone watched Umbrella Academy, but one of the kids in that has a similar power, and they deal with it. But it just seems like a power that, like, you know, it's out there. I'm sure it's out there. It's like a book that you could read, and it would like explain every bit about the power. But like, I just want to know a little bit more about like how it works, how long it works. Could he do it over a video or a phone, or like, does it have to be in person?
That
I was wondering, like, go ahead.
Well, that's a great point, because that kind of goes into similar things we've seen like other villains do within the MCU. Like, how do we take what we can do, but like spread it wider, like, you know, get more with, so like, how can we control, like, you know, instead of just like these four people at once, like, how can I get like 10,000 people at once?
Right, exactly. Like, could he just get a megaphone and go out into Times Square and like get everybody that's in Times Square? Does it have to be sort of like face to face? There's just a lot of unknowns. And again, I haven't watched the series since it came out, so I don't remember if this gets explained or...
Same. So I was like, does he get a backstory episode? Like,
I remember a moment where there's like multiple people, but I don't remember if it's like explained. Were they all together? Was it one at a time? And that's something else. Like, is there a limit? Can he just control as many people as are within earshot? Or... is it like, no, it only works on the first 20, and then it doesn't work so well on 21 and up? I don't know.
Where was he during the elevator scene in the first episode? Because Hope had gotten away from him long enough to where she seemed to be kind of coming back into her own mind. And then all of a sudden she does that. Was he standing outside the building? Was he like miles away, but still connecting with her? Like, how did he even know where she was and that she was with her mom and dad? Like,
Right. Yeah. Is there some sort of like distance tied to it, or is it like a time thing? Like, he tells you what to do and you're under that spell or whatever until you do that thing, or are you under that spell for a day and then it starts to fade, or a couple hours? Yeah. And that's like goes back into this like thrillery part of this series, is that like, A, you never know where he is. B, you never know who he could be controlling, because we don't know the rules of how his control works. Can he control animals? There's like the whole thing with the cockroach. Like, can he control animals? I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, based in the comics, it's about the his. He basically uses his pheromones, and so there's some sort of virus in there that like just gives him this ability. But that's a great point. Like, where was he during that elevator scene? He had he would have had to be in the building.
Well, yeah, and if it's pheromone based, you would think that he would have to be near them and like stay within a certain proximity of them to continue controlling them. It's scary.
Gross.
That's probably a better way to say it. Yeah, gross. But yeah, so that's episode 2 of Jessica Jones. So we hope that you join us next week. We're going to be doing something a little different because we're getting ready for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I couldn't remember if it was just Ant-Man or if it was Ant-Man and the Wasp. But we're going to be doing a watch through of Ant-Man and then of Ant-Man and the Wasp to get ready so that we're all caught up with who's doing what and where. And I know Endgame is in there, and we'll probably discuss the aftermath of Endgame. But we want to make sure that everyone's caught up with who these characters are before we get to the movie. I was thinking, like, man, we should, like, should we talk about Loki again? Since, like, that's the villain, but also we don't really know if he's the villain yet in this or if he's going to be, like, the phase villain. I know we talked about that, so lots to talk about in the, over the next couple of weeks before Quantumania. So definitely join us for that. Do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode?
There are lots of nicer things to watch than tune it in. He doesn't always play a creep. He just usually plays a creep.
Yeah. I think it's just something. It's his voice.
I mean, he's very, very good at this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little creepy.
Alarmingly good at this.
Well, we will see you all next week. I guess the question for this week would be, if you had the ability to control people, would you be a villain? Or would you be a hero? I think I'd be a hero. I think it'd be pretty easy to be a hero, right? You just kind of walk, like someone's doing something, you walk over and be like, hey, don't do that. Rethink your life. And then you walk away.
I just make my students do their homework. That would literally be the extent of it. Like, I told you to charge your Chromebook and do the reading.
I think that's a good place to end. So we'll see you all next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.